Here we go.
So let's talk about the movie we just got done watching.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
It surprised me.
Great movie.
This just feels like a movie that is being made to exploit the masses.
Oh yeah, I'd like to see that. It's not a bad film.
It's just bad.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
And that movie sucked.
Yeah, well, hello.
Hello.
All right. It's on now.
All right. Well, here we are. Back.
Welcome!
Hey, that movie podcast, Film Talk Q&A. I'm Alex.
I'm Quincy.
And we're here talking about movies.
That's right. It's July 14th, 2012.
Yep. Saturday the 14th. Dun, dun, dun.
Did you have a good Friday the 13th?
Oh, it was okay.
Did you watch a scary movie?
No, I did not.
Did you watch Friday the 13th? Ha ha! Bada
Yeah, there you go. Ah, no, I did not. But, you know, it's there in spirit, you know.
Well, there you go. Yeah. All right, let's kick this thing off.
Woo.
Now playing.
All right. What do we have? Let's see. Oh, this week's movie was going to be Savages.
And Amazing Spider-Man.
And the Amazing Spider-Man.
Which one do you want to tackle first?
Oh, let's go in alphabetical order with the Amazing Spider-Man.
All right, Amazing Spider-Man. First off, I was impressed that you saw it. who forced you to see it? Was there a female involved? Or
thank you for the optimism, but no, it was just sheer boredom.
Wow. You must have been really bored. Because you weren't looking forward to it at all, right?
No, not really. It was one of those I was kind of riding the fence on. I was like, yeah, you know, it's like if I can get to it, I can get to it. But I happened to get off work early because we had that whole All-Star Game crap going on.
Oh, yeah.
And so they were just like around 3:30 in the afternoon. They were like, all right, you can go. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm like, yeah, fuck it, I'm already here. I might as well go, you know, get caught up on some movies.
Sweet. So your impressions?
It was definitely better than I expected it to be. You know, when I first heard about, you know, they were just doing yet another origin story, I'm like, oh, crap, here we go again. Been down this road, you know, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, you know, I've been there since I was in second grade, for God's sake. I'm freaking tired of the Spider-Man origin. But this movie, you know, I mean, sure, it plays fast and loose with the mythology, but it held my interest, it entertained me. You know, will I go see the second movie? Maybe. But, you know, I can definitely say I at least enjoyed this movie.
Now you can see why I'm surprised he saw it.
I took the family to see it. IMAX 3D, 4th of July morning.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking. For some reason in my mind, I'm like, hey, I'll get up and no one else will have this great idea. But
psych!
Yeah, so it was crowded, but it was all right. I gotta say, the 3D I wish I wouldn't have paid for, but I was riding the Abe Lincoln wave, thinking that, you know, 3D was awesome, and then I was reminded again of how mediocre it could be. I didn't think it really added much to the movie at all.
No.
So,
you know, it was kind of cool, but yeah, if I'd have seen it in 2D, I'd have probably been just as happy.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I really enjoyed the chemistry between Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that the romance in Spider-Man was by far the weakest aspect of all of it. At least the part that I didn't care, I always thought Mary Jane was kind of a drip.
Yeah.
And
are you talking about the Raimi films?
Yeah, and even the comic books.
Oh, okay.
So, I liked it. It was the first time that I actually cared, and I thought that it felt genuine, and
yeah.
You know, it was cool. All in all, I thought it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably a little let down. I thought it had a lot of cool concepts. I loved that it made him a brain again and really smart and a scientist. And,
yeah.
And I thought that was really awesome. I loved some of the spider things they did, like how he set up that web in the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
that, yeah, that was really cool.
And I wish it would have had more of that.
Yeah.
I wish it would have had more, like, spider things to kind of, because that's the thing with Spider-Man, it's like he flies around the city, but you know what? Spiders don't really fly around the city or your house or anywhere. They tuck up in a corner and stay there for weeks, months, seasons.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, Spider-Man's always been kind of loose with the whole spider thing.
Yeah, I wish they would have played up more on the spider sense. I thought that, you know, because that was one of the things I always thought was cool about the comic books. You know, it's like, oh, he had the spider sense. You know, but things just seem to take this character by surprise. Just going, hello? You know?
Yeah, and they'd kind of do it, but it was like a real fast, like, electrical flash kind of thing.
You know, and it was only in those moments when it was convenient to the plot.
And when it looked cool.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, I mean, it really nailed a lot of the iconic imagery of Spider-Man and almost all of the shots of him, like, flying around and the overextended legs and arms and, I mean, it looked exactly like the Amazing Spider-Man comics, and I thought it was really cool. And just a lot of it, I just thought it was really neat, so I was never bored watching it.
Yeah.
But once it was all said and done, it was like, there just wasn't much to it.
No.
As far as the action goes and as far as the story, really. I thought the Lizard's development was really, like, from there to there, it just kind of flipped a switch. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the whole dual personality all of a sudden, and it talking to itself like Gollum, and I don't know, it's just like, what?
There, yeah, well, Lizard, I thought, was kind of a weird thrown-in thing, just in the fact that it almost felt like some of the producers were almost like myself with money, because he was kind of like the Hulk, where it's like he'd burst out of, you know, his clothing and everything else, and he'd turn into this huge lizard. But then at one point, he manages to have his iconic lab coat. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's the Lizard. You know, the Lizard was like this lizard with this lab coat. You're like, all right, you know, that was interesting. So he has this lab coat. But as he's coming up, at, you know, into the high school through the sewers, he manages to rip it off. You're like, oh, okay, all right. But at least they paid homage to it. And then I believe it was like the next scene or the scene after that, just out of nowhere, suddenly he has this large lab coat again. You know, only that manages to get ripped off as well. I'm just going, where did this lab coat just mysteriously come from all of a sudden?
Well, he's a lizard, Alex. He regrows things.
Oh,
it's not just limited to his limbs.
He can regrow his lab coat,
too. Yeah, if he loses his glasses, they're right back up in the next scene. I mean,
well, cool. All
I don't understand why you didn't understand that.
Yeah.
I thought they established that with the whole...
It really just felt like the scene that just kind of got thrown in there in the middle of it. It was like, oh, we've got this scene. Let's have more of him with the lab coat. Okay. Let's have it get ripped off so that it'll mix with some of the other scenes. Okay. You know, it's just, I don't know.
Well, and it went from him injecting himself to save humanity because they were going to go do test on unsuspecting civilians to him releasing the toxic smoke that was changing everyone into lizards and thinking that that's the way to go. I mean, I didn't understand the transformation. It didn't really show.
Yeah.
It was like it was necessary for the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it
was. That was about it. Yeah, otherwise the character kind of went from like here to like, here. You know, it's like, oh, okay.
I enjoyed Dennis Leary in it.
Dennis Leary was good.
Yeah.
He was a surprise.
So anyway, I'd say all in all, if you're a real big fan of Spider-Man, go see a matinee. See it the cheapest as you can.
go cheap.
Yeah.
2D matinee.
Or wait for Blu-ray. Or it'll Blu-ray. Look good.
Yeah. Either way, can't go wrong.
Yeah. So, moving on. Savages. Oliver Stone's latest movie.
Oliver Stone movie, yeah.
Starring no one that anyone cares about, and definitely no one's going to give a crap about in 5 years.
Although, I do have to admit, Benicio del Toro... Did a good job.
With the exception. Okay, there are three good things about Savages.
Okay.
So obviously I'm kind of tipping my hand a little bit. It's been a while since I've had a movie make me as angry as Savages did. But three good things.
Okay.
Benicio del Toro.
Yeah.
John Travolta.
Yeah.
And the scene in the car with John Travolta and the two guys.
Okay. Yeah.
That's it. The rest... It made me so mad. Once it was all said and done, I mean, it was like when I was watching it, okay, this could get good.
Yeah,
it had potential. And then every time you're like, all right, it's getting good, and then it'd go right back to where it was.
Yeah.
And it was mainly, now that I think back on it, it was mainly it went to O.
Yeah.
And every time it went to her, you're like, what? I don't care. She is the worst actress in the world. I've never seen a girl like so blasé about her situation and still like snarky and a hippie love child while chained up in a bed. And I mean, she was totally fine with everything. She did not seem that upset.
No.
She more wanted to make sure her mom wasn't upset.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just like, what? Okay, you love your mom. I didn't understand that. I've never seen a movie completely lack in character development at all for any single character. Nothing. I mean, the closest character development you had was John Travolta's. But that was simply because he was revealed to be so many different things than he was initially supposed to be. You know, possible spoiler alert, but here's how it is. If the movie sucks, I don't care if I ruin it for you.
Yeah.
Because hopefully I'll save you from your time and money.
Yep.
Of seeing it, so.
Yeah, I can't say that I completely hated the movie as much as you did, but it definitely kind of let me down. I really expected a little more. I mean, just based off the fact that it was Oliver Stone, and it was, I mean, just the preview itself, I was just kind of going, okay, this could be really good.
Yeah. Well, the movie makes it had some strong,
it has some strong potential.
It is not.
Yeah.
It is not this, we're going to go hunt down our girl and take her back.
Yeah.
From the cartel that kidnapped her. It's a, oh, well, we don't have enough money to pay them, so we're going to have to rob them. Oh, let's rob from them.
Yeah.
And we've got it all figured out, but we don't rob enough to actually have enough to do it anyway. But we can't repeat this because it sets it up like, hey, she has all these different properties, so we're going to rob all these different ones.
Yeah.
They do the first heist. The heat's on. They know that they can't ever do that again. It's like, well, way to think that out, you brilliant fucks. And then the ending. Don't even get me started on the ending. Which ending? Both. They both sucked. They were both so completely disappointing. But the little twisty thing at the end was so smarmy. And at that point, I could care less.
Yeah.
After that shootout and that ending that was so stereotypical, they're standing 2 feet away and they can't hit each other with bullets. Or when the one dude turns around to shoot, he doesn't even think to like move out of the way or drop.
Uh-huh.
He's just right there and gets shot in the neck. It's like, really? And then the snipers all of a sudden can't shoot people. They've been sitting in their sights for like the last 20 minutes. Oh, they are, I mean, they were already laying down.
Oh, what whoops, happened? They moved.
The grass grew all of a sudden. We can't see them. Oh! I mean, it was so retarded.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then the whole, oh, this is what really happened, was just as ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because it didn't even make, it didn't make more sense. It didn't resolve it in a satisfying way. You were just,
there
you,
it is.
You got me. You got me with that preview, guy. Not again, though.
Mm-hmm.
Never again, Oliver Stone. I'll never see another one of his movies in the theater.
Wow.
I don't care how good it looks by the preview. Look on IMDb. Look him up. Listener, look him up. Tell me that he's made a movie in the last 15 years that's worth seeing.
Did U-Turn come out in the last 15
years? I gotta get crickets. I'm going to put crickets in there. If I have cricket sound effects, I'm putting it in there. That is what's happening.
Because I know,
U-Turn didn't come out in the last 15 minutes. And okay, this is what it is.
All right.
Everyone has a pleasant bowel movement once in a while. That's what U-Turn was. You look on his filmography. That's it. It's the only one that's held up to time. His.
Look it up.
I have already. I don't want to waste my time or the viewers' listeners.
Get this crap out.
All right, fine. He is a director who especially has not held up well. Like, even his movies that were good back in the day, they don't hold up good. You watch them now and it's just like, ooh, oh, that's kind of...
See, I saw Platoon earlier this year. I still enjoyed that movie.
Really? See, I never thought that was all that great anyway.
Oh,
I always found it kind of boring. All right, let's start where people started caring. Platoon.
Yeah.
Wall Street.
See, now I enjoyed Salvador. I thought The Hand wasn't all that bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
But.
Platoon, Wall Street, Talk Radio, Born on the 4th. The Doors, JFK.
Okay, JFK was good.
Yeah, Heaven and Earth, I'll admit, was kind of a stumbling block.
Natural Born Killers.
Natural Born Killers put him back on top. Nixon,
it's terrible, though. It put him on top for a little bit. Have you tried watching it?
Not lately.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, I think it's so pretentious and heavy-handed. Anyway.
Came out, what, 94? Yeah, see, I don't think I've seen that movie since 94.
U-Turn was fun for what it was. Nixon was there. It was U-Turn. Based on a good Noir book.
Yeah. U-Turn was surprisingly good. He did Any Given Sunday, didn't he?
That
wasn't all that in a bag of chips.
No.
Alexander was less than all that in a bag of chips. Depending on which version you see, it was still crap.
It was either bad or really bad.
Yeah. Oh my God, there were like, what, 5 different versions of that film, and they all sucked.
And then you say that I guarantee you, ask 10 people out of 10 on the street, like, hey, have you seen W? They'll be like, who's that?
Yeah.
That'd be the one question you'd ask where they don't say, is that a movie?
Mm-hmm.
No.
What's that? The best thing about W was Josh Brolin.
I don't know. I'm like America. I didn't care.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's like it was a work-related accident, personally.
Well,
otherwise, I probably wouldn't have seen it. But I do have to admit, I mean, Josh Brolin kicked ass.
So, you see anything on there that makes you proud? Besides Salvador? Which is, it's a decent movie.
Yeah,
it's a good
Salvador Platoon, I'll go with all of his earlier works, but yeah, let's just go from the 90s.
So, starting with The Doors on, he hasn't done anything good.
Okay, well...
Because The Doors killed Val Kilmer. He hasn't been the same ever since he did it.
True.
With the exception of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah, I was going to say Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. It was great in that, Gay Perry.
Yeah.
And I love that movie.
It's a great movie. And if you haven't seen it, and you like Robert Downey Jr., and you're kind of thick-skinned because it is kind of offensive, it'd be offensive, but it's Shane Black. So.
Yeah, exactly. So Shane Black's directorial debut. I mean, it's awesome. So.
And he's a screenwriter. He's most well-known for being, the first screenwriter to make over $1 million for a screenplay?
Yeah.
And it was Last Boy Scout,
right? Boy Scout, yeah. He wrote Lethal Weapon, Last Boy Scout.
Lethal Weapon's really what put him on the map. But he was basically a lot of big 80s action movies. He was the screenwriter. Well, this was his directorial debut. It's not from the 80s. It's late 90s, right? Maybe early 2000s.
Yeah, I want to say early 2000, 2001, something like that.
But it's a fun little crime movie.
Yeah, I'll pull that movie out every Christmas. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. It's great. So see, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah.
But
it's a great holiday movie.
But if you're a little twisted. So, anyway, it's unanimous. Oliver Stone sucks, and he did nothing with Savages to dispel that notion. Do you have anything that you want to say to make anyone go see Savages? Do you think they should see Savages ever? I would say no. You should go rent Salvador.
Yeah.
If you really got that Oliver Stone itch, go rent Salvador.
Yeah. Go rent Salvador.
Go rent Natural Born Killers and see what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Go rent Talk Radio.
No, that hasn't held up either.
Really?
Dude, I used to own it. Proudly. And now I... Not so proudly.
Damn. I mean, admittedly, I've not seen it in years, but it's like, I remember enjoying the shit out of it, so...
Alex, people tell me that I can be harsh.
You?
Yeah.
Really?
So, I just want to put that out. So when I make like these... Some might call harsh, like, statements. Just take it with a grain of salt, except for The Savages. That is not a good movie.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I want to move on from The Savages, because we got a lot of other stuff to cover.
Oh, yeah, what all we got here? Okay, you talked about it last week, but I just want to, go back and say I did finally see Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
All right. Your assessment.
Sadly, it was pretty much everything I was afraid it was going to be, which is just a Cliff Notes version of the book.
Well, of course it is. It's a movie.
You know, I
didn't want to... It wasn't Abe Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, the miniseries. That's where you can completely capture everything that's in a book.
Yeah.
If it's not the miniseries, if it's not Game of Thrones, it's going to be the Cliff Notes version. You know, I mean...
Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of hoping for a little more, especially after your glowing recommendation. I don't know. I thought it was okay. It was very fair.
The conclusion is, see the movie, then read the book. Best of both worlds. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Or you could just read the book instead of seeing the movie,
Dude, the movie's completely entertaining. Especially, obviously, when you haven't read the book.
Well, I'll have to give you that one, because, like I said, I read the book first, and I was like, I really enjoyed
it. Everyone I know that's
seen it. I enjoyed the shit out of the book.
That hasn't read the book, great. Yeah. Really liked it. I don't know anyone beside you that has seen it that has read the book, but...
Okay. Because, I mean, the book was fun in the fact that it took itself somewhat seriously as a Lincoln biography.
Yeah.
And the movie just... kind of takes itself more as a vampire film than as historical fiction. I'm just kind of going...
I don't know. I thought it touched on a lot of cool things about Lincoln's life. Cool. I thought it did a good job of kind of finding the balance. I'm glad they didn't go much more into the... I wasn't interested in the historical fiction aspect. I was interested in the...
See, that's kind of...
Because it wasn't called Abe Lincoln, you know?
Yeah.
It was called Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's what made it fun, was the fact that it was, you know, this historical fiction. Kind of like, have you ever read Pride and Prejudice and Zombies?
Nope. I'm waiting for the movie.
Oh.
What?
You're killing me, Smalls. Okay.
I know.
And
I'm okay with that. Because I like to be able to enjoy both mediums. And yeah. I learned a long time ago that go see the movie, then read the book.
But see, if you've ever read Pride and Prejudice, and then you read Pride and Prejudice and Zombies...
But that'd mean I'd read a Jane Austen book.
Well,
and why the hell would I want to do that?
There is.
Do I really got to show you why I wouldn't? Because it's hanging between my legs. What? No, I didn't. Yes, I did. Men don't read Jane Austen. Don't you remember that song? No. That was a song from your youth. Men don't read Jane Austen, or else you're not a man. You don't remember that? I don't know. Maybe I had a dream about that. I don't know.
Maybe so.
Regardless. I'm not sure. Maybe some people would be able to relate to that and find the how much fun it is, but I just don't think I can read Pride and Prejudice enough to want to...
Oh, see, because, I mean, that's where the fun and the humor in Pride and Prejudice and Zombies comes from, is just... Once you've read Pride and Prejudice, you're going, oh, shit, this is funnier than hell.
Now, can you watch the movie Pride and Prejudice, like maybe the BBC version? Because I'm sure it's more respectful to Americans. You know, because a lot of Americans are like, oh, anything made in America is poo-poo, but if it's BBC, then it's
wonderful. Then it must be good, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's like, have you seen that Downton Abbey? It is so great. I feel so connected to my forefathers now that I've watched it. Anyway, that's a topic for another day.
Yeah, there you go.
Any other movies in the theater that you've seen? Quick, let's do it. Except for the one that I told you can't mention yet because I haven't seen it. Because
there was that one, but...
Okay, well, while you're thinking of that...
Yeah, maybe not.
I had two previews that I saw before Savages.
Okay.
One was called Branded. Did you see the preview? This looks like one of the most bizarre movies.
Oh! That was the one that looked like,
almost like They Live.
If Terry Gilliam would have directed They Live, it would be Branded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. I saw the preview and I was just like...
Slightly curious, yeah.
And then Looper. What do you think of that? It's the one with Bruce Willis and what's the kid's name? That's in?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could be cool. That's the same guy that did Brick.
That's right.
Yeah.
His name's Rian Johnson.
Yeah.
He also did Brothers Bloom. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, I saw that. Loved that movie. That was
really? Cool. I've never seen it.
Yeah. Check that out.
I think they have it on Netflix. I had to check it out.
I should hope so. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, Brick. Brick is a great movie.
Brick is by far, like... And Brick is, like, up here on the pinnacle of, like, awesomeness. And then, yeah, it's like Brothers Bloom is, like, maybe right about here, you know.
Yeah, but, basically, Brick is like a film noir movie that takes place in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But these high school students, like, speak this weird kind of 50s
noir
slang. And the movie doesn't slow down for you as the viewer, so you gotta... Yeah. Pay attention and follow along, but
you got to catch up.
It's a cool journey. Brain. It's worth the time, and it's worth seeking out. Look for it. It may even stream on Netflix. People tell me I should quit mentioning Netflix until they actually, but I can't help it. It's a tool. It's like Google for me.
Yes,
you know, people say, "Well, Google that." I'm like, "Well, Netflix it." Resolve that hole that is your life because you have not seen what I'm recommending. Okay, okay. Anyway, what about recently viewed DVD?
Yeah, I got nothing on that one.
All right, well, says the man with no TV.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
So. Yeah, yeah. Luckily, you can fill this gap because I dropped the ball on that one, but okay.
It's fine. I've seen quite a few, and I know that you've seen at least a couple of them, I think.
Oh, I'm sure I have.
First on the list, Safe House.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one directed by Daniel Espinosa.
Mm-hmm.
And starring Denzel Washington and Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
What'd you think? You've seen that, haven't you?
I did. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was good.
It wasn't like, wow, this is great, but yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, in some respects, it's kind of forgettable
mm-hmm.
once it's all said and done, but wow, is it nonstop.
Yeah.
I mean, once it gets going, it is really nonstop, and it's not predictable, and yeah, I thought it was really enjoyable. It's worth watching. You probably don't want to buy it, because I can't imagine you want to watch it a lot. But I would rent it, definitely. I would definitely recommend renting it.
Oh,
so,
hell yeah.
You know, watch it once, enjoy it, and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, Wrath of the Titans.
Mm.
Did you see that?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay,
let's see. The sequel to the remake that I didn't see in the first place. No,
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You act like it's like this sacred material. It's Greek mythology. There's so many stories that can be told from this crap.
There are
so many
stories.
Which blows my mind that no one's getting it right.
I know.
Sorry. Sorry.
Take a deep breath. Go to your happy place.
I just did. Puppy dogs and leopards. Sorry. But no, the leopards aren't eating the puppy dogs. I know that's what you're thinking, you sick bastard.
You know me too well.
So anyway, watching Wrath of the Titans,
mm-hmm.
which is also nonstop, but it's nonstop in a way that watching a toddler is nonstop. To where you're done and you're just kind of like, wow, was that not a fun experience? It was amazing how a nonstop movie could be so boring. I mean, it's a feat.
Hey.
In some world, he should get an award.
See, this is why...
And if awards were a kick to the groin,
yeah,
I would like to give him that award.
This is why the Hamlin film never bothered with a sequel, because they realized, like, hey, you know what? We don't need a sequel.
No, they should have. Dude, there's nowhere... I mean, you can go anywhere with it. I love Greek mythology. I wish studios were forced by contract of someone that they had to put out at least one a year, but I also wish that they were forced to make it good.
Yeah.
And actually read it.
Yeah.
And not just like, all right, just spit those names out.
Yeah.
And, oh, no, I'm
put
just going
to... Put the names in your script. All right, we're
good. Yeah, I'm going to do whatever I want with it. It's like, well, I don't care if generations of people have read these and know the stories. So I'm going to just wing it.
Yeah.
It's directed by Jonathan Liebesman. You familiar with him?
I can't say that.
Once I looked him up, I was like, wow, it makes sense why I did not like this movie.
Is he the same guy that did the first one?
No.
No. Okay.
He did Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
Which was bad. It's one of the handful of movies I've actually walked out of in the theater.
Yeah, the prequel to the remake of,
okay. What did you think of the remake?
I remember seeing it on your recommendation, because you, for some odd reason, were able to talk me into seeing it. And I think also, this was back when I was living in North Carolina, so I was able to see the movie for a whole dollar. And, yeah, I remember at the time, you were like, okay, go pay your dollar, and if you don't like it, I'll refund your money. I will send you a dollar through the mail. And I was thinking, you know what? It was okay, but, you know, yeah, if you could send me 75 cents, we can call it even.
Yeah. I didn't, because I don't mail anything, so I'll pay you that 75 cents. I got it in my van. Remind me when you leave.
I was just kind of like, yeah, it was, you know, it wasn't all that in a bag of chips.
Yeah, obviously. He didn't like it as much as I did.
Yeah, clearly not.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. It hasn't aged that well.
Oh, I can imagine.
But it's still intense, I thought. I thought it was good.
I thought the whole thing where you've got the whole town involved with making the barbecue.
The whole town, it was just a huge family. A lot of
it happened to be in the town. It happened to make up most of the town.
You obviously never lived down south. Well, small town.
Ding 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 ding.
Yep. Stereotypes exist because there's a reason. Okay, they're usually based in truth. So you can't dismiss a part of a movie that's based in truth as bogus. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right, next on the list, bomb. Project X. Wait, did you ever see it? That's
Jonah,
the.
You mean Jonah Hill's not in this movie?
No, but it's kind of surprising. Yeah. There's a character in there that's about as annoying. There's definitely the Jonah Hill character in there. Yeah, it's the house party gone crazy movie. The whole thing's recorded on like the camcorder.
Yeah, you got the whole found footage bullshit thing going. Yeah, no.
Yeah, it doesn't really play up the whole found footage thing so much as just like someone's just recording this party.
Yeah.
And you just happen to be watching their footage that they recorded.
Ooh, home movies.
Have you ever seen it?
No.
No, obviously.
No.
And obviously you've already prejudged it.
No, pretty much.
That it sucks.
Yeah.
In some aspects, I saw
the preview and I was just kind of going, oh, look, it's a house party. Okay. Oh, and yeah, they're driving a car into a pool. Yay, okay.
See, you're just cynical.
Yeah, well.
You're cynical. You need to try to reach into your soul and find that piece that enjoyed stuff like that when you were like 16, 17.
Well, you know.
When you gave movies a chance, Alex. Anyway, I'm not necessarily saying it was a great movie. It wasn't. It was odd, though. I mean, I can't remember the last time a movie has made me so uncomfortably tense. While events were unfolding to where I was just kind of like, at any time, it could have gone to a really dark place and it wouldn't have surprised me. And it would have kind of fit with the tone of the movie, if that makes sense. And it never necessarily does, but it could, and you wouldn't be surprised. And at times, you're kind of afraid that it's going to. And there's tension that comes from it, and it's really odd. Because it is funny, and in many ways, it feels very authentic. It feels authentic in a way that hasn't since probably Dazed and Confused.
What?
As far as capturing what it truly is like to get messed up. And at the end, when it was all said and done, like, as the credits rolled, I kind of had that thing in my soul that I felt back in the day when I saw, like, a John Hughes movie. To where I just kind of felt like, oh, man, I don't know. It's hard to explain. That sounds stupid as hell coming from a 4-year-old. But I don't know. It felt me really torn. I don't know if I should recommend it or not. If what I described sounds interesting, check it out. That's what I would say. If you like kind of dark comedies, you could do worse.
Yeah.
Once again, you need to have thick skin because it's pretty offensive and it's non-stop swearing. It's like this thick paragraph of why it's rated R, and then the very last thing is all involving teens.
Yeah.
So, you know, if that sounds funny or intriguing to you, check it out. If it sounds morally reprehensible, avoid it.
Yeah.
Next on the list is Thank You for Smoking. It's kind of an older one.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised you had that one on the list.
I've owned it for a while.
Oh, okay.
Ever since it came out on DVD, I've just never actually watched it.
Hmm.
I basically watched it because a friend of mine at work said that it was like in his top 5 comedies of the last century.
Wow.
Which I think was a gross overstatement. But,
yeah.
Anyway.
I enjoyed it, but yeah, would I call it, you know, the top 5 comedy of the past century? No. You know.
I thought that it had a great, great message.
Mm-hmm.
And I really loved, like, what it said.
Oh, yeah.
And looking at director Jason Reitman's filmography, it's by far his strongest movie, I would say.
Yeah.
But it never was laugh out loud funny for me. I never laughed out loud, maybe once.
I seem to recall, and I forget the exact scene, because honestly I haven't seen this movie since the theaters, but I seem to recall laughing out loud at least a good couple of times. But the movie overall definitely amused me and impressed me, and I enjoyed it and would wholeheartedly recommend it, but
yeah, I don't think I'd wholeheartedly recommend it. It would depend on the person and their sensibilities, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, basically it has Aaron Eckhart playing a lobbyist, a tobacco lobbyist, but the whole thing's really about, you know, thinking for yourself and personal freedom and liberty. And it has a very libertarian message, which is why it appeals to me politically. But I don't know. I don't think it's quite as cute as it thinks it is.
Hmm.
It kind of came across as I don't know. I don't want to really go there because it'd make it sound like I didn't enjoy it, and I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
I just like if someone ever saw it in my collection, I'd be like, hey, you want it? Take it. Go ahead. And I wouldn't mind, because I doubt I'll ever watch it again.
Well.
Yeah, there's that one. Now it is time for... Well, we usually do the hidden gem at this time.
Yeah. Kind of going off of what you talked about earlier, just because you mentioned it. Amazingly enough, there are still people out there who have not seen Escape from New York. With the recent passing of Ernest Borgnine, it kind of seems appropriate to bring this movie up, just because it's always been one of my favorite Ernest Borgnine roles.
Oh, yeah.
As Cabby.
Definitely.
I mean, yeah, sure, the guy did, you know, Marty and, you know, these other, you know, great films, but I'm just like, man, Cabby. He was great. You know, of course, it's John Carpenter when John Carpenter was in his prime.
You don't cross the Duke.
Yeah, you know, Kurt Russell in one of his admittedly favorite roles.
Oh, he's iconic.
Yeah.
Changed my life.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, him and Mad Max.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson is Mad Max. Those two, Snake Plissken and Mad Max,
yeah,
are like my heroes.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
So, yeah, I think next week we should do Escape from New York as our Test of Time segment.
Okay. I mean, like, I've seen it within, like, the last couple of years.
Well,
So I know that it still holds up, but I can easily see it again.
That's your opinion. Well, maybe I'll watch it without you. I can say my opinion. Okay, I've seen it fairly recent, too.
Yeah.
Just not as recent as I'd like, so I wanted to see it again.
Yeah.
But fine, I'll just watch it on my own, and it won't be for any segment of this podcast. Okay, fine.
The only thing that sucks about... Because they released...
It's the computer special effects.
Well, no.
Those are laughable.
I still enjoy those. I think that was like the pinnacle of technology right there. But anyway, you know, this all this crap they got out now where they're trying to get you this virtual crap. I'm just going, what am I looking at? It's like an expressionist painting. But, you know, that shit, it's like you knew what that was, you know. But when you had the you know, quote-unquote director's cut version that came out, they had the whole opening sequence on a separate disc.
Yeah, in the special features.
Crap!
Playing it behind the director talking about it.
Yeah. Well, no, because you had either the director commentary or you could switch off the commentary and just watch, like, that particular scene. But it sucks in the fact that it's like you've got to watch the first part of the film and then switch discs. And then, you know, watch the opening credit sequence all over again.
The director's cut should be
in a different color.
Together.
Hell yes, it should be. You know,
I agree. So obviously, he didn't want it as part of the film.
I don't know how that managed to work out, but yeah, I was just like, man, this, damn it.
But yeah, if you have not seen
Escape from New York,
and you are a male between 30 and 45, really,
shame on
you should be shocked.
Yeah.
But you should remedy this.
Yes.
And go to something somewhere at your computer and get it as soon as possible.
Yes.
You can probably find it at Walmart. I think it is at Walmart in the $5 bin.
Probably, yeah.
Get it.
And by the way, the movie's called Escape from New York.
Not L.A.
Not L.A. Avoid L.A.
I don't know what you're talking about.
La, anyway, la, 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 la,
the movie we just got done watching, which we almost forgot to talk about.
Hell yeah, we almost forgot to talk about this one.
Best worst movie.
Yes.
It's directed by Michael Paul Stevenson, who played Michael in Troll 2.
Yes.
And this is a documentary, basically.
About Troll 2.
Yeah, yes. Basically about where are they now. Because Troll 2 is like one of the worst movies ever. And
see, again, I don't know what these people are basing this off of, because, my God, Troll 2 is like... comparable to The Godfather Part 2 compared to, say, The Little Rascals or, what's something that came out within, like, the last 5 years?
Okay, let's put this in perspective.
Okay.
Little Rascals, the movie.
Yeah.
How old were you when you saw that and hated it?
It was in the 90s, so I would have been in my...
Were you over eight?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, so maybe you weren't the target audience. Maybe. I'm just saying maybe. So maybe
I should have been, since I was the one who grew up watching The Little Rascals,
no,
you know?
No.
Yeah.
You really think that they were making Little Rascals for, like, kids that grew up? Watch, I wouldn't go see it even if it was, like, made for me.
No,
the only way they could do that is if they
probably grew up watching Little Rascals, because she still managed to fuck it up and drop the ball.
Who did what?
Penelope Spheeris.
She made a kids movie. She made a movie for her kids.
She made a Little Rascals movie for her kids. Didn't she fucking do...
It was a kids movie, and you were like...
Wasn't she the same one that did the Beverly adult. Hillbillies?
Yes. You know,
yeah, and then she also did...
She hasn't World, done any know. Good movies.
Exactly. She hasn't done anything since she stopped making documentaries. She was a great documentarian, but then all of a sudden she gets into, you know, narrative
so you
film
can't
and it's like, oh, fuck. You know, it's, you just drop the ball.
Man.
She did two TV remakes and a freaking Saturday Night Live skit.
I come from the position of you got to judge a film on what the film is intended to be. And if it's intended to be a damn kids movie and a kid enjoys watching it, which my kids enjoyed watching it a lot, unfortunately.
Why would you even expose your children to that movie?
You know what?
God, that is child abuse.
Things happen. It's not like I brought it in. Okay? But I guarantee you, you have a little girl at your leg, tugging, looking up there with tears forming, saying, can I get this? Can I please get Little Rascals, Papa? You're going to let her get Little Rascals. That's just going to happen.
Parent, you're like,
whatever.
Put that back. Because
you know what? You don't care. Yeah. At that point, you've already put in endless hours of Barney. You've already put in endless hours of Dora. You've already put in endless hours of Caillou. You don't care. It's like, watch whatever, honey. If as long came, as there's not, like, people cutting their heads off.
If she came to you with a freaking Bowie knife, would you let her buy that, too?
Yes. I would. That's what insurance is for, but that's a totally different situation. Okay? You're getting way off point, Alex. Let's pull it back, rein her in, okay? Knife play, Little Rascal. See, you're the violent one. You're making the correlation between stabbing people, slitting their throats with a Bowie knife. Now, you may not have said slit the throat part, but I know I see the fire in your eyes. People, you can't see it, but he is unstable. I'm just saying. People that laugh with their mouth closed, that's a sign of mental instability. In any movie, watch, Pete, check my hypotenuse. All right. So anyway, did we ever even discuss best worst movie? Oh no, because you just went on the now knowing that's okay. In Alex's opinion, this is the worst named documentary in the world because it is not the worst movie ever.
No, Troll 2 is by far not the worst film I've ever seen.
Watch Troll 2. It is a bad movie.
Bad, yes, it's horrible. You. It is not the worst movie ever made.
Now listen, when people say the worst movie ever made, they're saying the best worst movie ever made, which means. Because you do have, like, mundane just crap, like movies that are horrible that don't work.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not a good, bad movie.
No.
So people would never say that's the best, worst movie.
Yeah.
Even if it is, like, technically the worst movie. Right?
Okay.
So you see where what you did was wrong. No, I'm just... Anyway. So it is one of the best, worst movies. Anyone would put it, anyone with appreciation of bad movies, like myself, would easily put it in the top five of the worst movies ever made. Now, it wouldn't necessarily mean that it's like literally the worst movie ever made, because there's way worse. I mean, I don't even bother renting, like, the action straight to action movies, you know, like all the Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. I don't watch them because I know they're going to be
Ninja
bad.
4.
But they're not going to be like fun bad like Leprechaun in the Hood or Rubber or, you know, The Room.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a distinction.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you like bad movies at all, even if you don't, it's an extremely fascinating documentary.
It is a well-made documentary. It helps if you see Troll 2 just to have some base knowledge as far as what these people are talking about and why these people are, you know, so gaga over the fact that, you know, this movie is being shown theatrically.
It's true.
So it would make a fun double feature. But yeah, watch Troll 2 first and then watch the best worst movie.
It's actually worth seeking out the DVD because there's like 30 minutes, 45 minutes worth of deleted scenes.
Wow.
And he literally talked to, like, almost everyone that was in that movie at some point.
I wasn't aware of that.
And it's almost scary how many mentally unstable people were in that movie. And that's not a joke. That's not being facetious.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, like, like one of the guys that plays the shop owner, he was on like a pass from his mental hospital.
Yeah, he was on furlough from the mental hospital
to go work, and just by happenstance happened to get into this movie.
Yeah, he got the guy job didn't by show default. Up.
So, you know, he was, and he talks about how if you watch me in the movie, you can see there's madness in my eyes. That I was actually really crazy and angry. I didn't know what I was going to do then. And they show a clip of the movie, and you're like, okay, yeah, that's kind of creepy. And then there's like one lady who plays the mom, and she like has signs of out front of you can't approach her door, and
yeah, she's a little unstable.
She's more than a little unstable. There's also in the deleted scenes, there's several people that they interview, and they're so crazy that he didn't even put them in the dock.
Damn.
So, and all right. One of the craziest is the director and the writer, who is his wife.
Yeah.
And they're an Italian couple who insisted on that they knew American language better than the Americans. And which is, because that's what really makes Troll 2 so special, is the dialogue. And what these people say is just magical. But yeah, so he comes over to the States to see what this phenomenon is, because, you know what, 20 years after he made his movie, people love it now.
Yeah.
And what's going on? They finally figured it out. They finally figured out that he made this awesome movie, and they got to see what it's all about. So they come over here, and once they realize that people are laughing at this thing, because he's like, they laugh at the parts where they're supposed to laugh, but then they also laugh at the parts that they're not supposed to laugh. And I do not understand it. It's like the whole thing they laugh at. They look at the whole thing as if it's a joke. And once he realizes that that is the actual what is going on, it becomes very uncomfortable, because he gets to, like, call people dogs, and he's very degrading, very angry. He's just, he's kind of surprised that he isn't French. Just the way that, you know, the stereotypical, his character would seem French if it was an American movie, just the way he's kind of an ass. So, do you have anything else to talk about, or about that? Best worst movie. It is available on Netflix.
Yeah, but like you said, I mean, go seek out the DVD.
Yeah, and you could probably find it pretty cheap. I got mine pretty cheap.
There you go.
Yeah, I guess I do have a hidden gem. If you have Netflix, there's a documentary that I found pretty interesting. It's called Unusual Buildings and Other Roadside Stuff. And it's basically just this. It was made for TV, you know, it's just like a half hour, so I guess technically we shouldn't be talking about it because it's that movie podcast, but, you know, if you like driving around and seeing, like, you know, a building that looks like a shoe, or, you know, a water tower that looks like a ketchup bottle, or, you know, if anything like that, you know, check it out. It's light and fluffy, but it's kind of cool, and they'll give you... So anyway, now for the test of time.
All right.
Special effects are awesome.
Ooh,
yep, that cost $20 million.
Hell yeah, only the best for this show, baby.
Pew! That cost $40 million.
Woo!
No more lasers. Pew, pew! Oh, anyway.
Hey, careful, you're using up all of our budget, man.
Well... I'm doing that just because, to kill some time, because in this test of time segment isn't going to be the longest in the world.
I
gave three movies a shot.
Okay.
I only made it through one of them. I had to turn the other two off because they were too painful.
Ooh.
I'm going to read you the three movies that I watched, and just as a fun hoo-ha, I thought, why don't you guess which one you think I actually made it through?
All right, sock it to me.
The three movies are...
Ha-ha.
Over the Top.
Oh, yeah.
That magical arm wrestling movie with Sylvester Stallone.
Hell, yeah.
Toys.
Yep.
The little-known skeleton in Robin Williams' closet.
Yep.
Along with Joan Cusack's closet.
That's right.
And LL Cool J's closet.
Ooh,
but anyway,
God, wasn't that one here?
And then, speaking of skeletons and closets, The Golden Child.
Hmm, yeah.
Eddie Murphy's skeleton. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, which one out of those three? I made it through one of them, Alex. See, two of them I had to turn off. Which one?
See, now, here's the thing. Because knowing you for as long as I have, and as well as I do, I would say that you probably made it through toys, just because I know that you've always been a fan of that film. However, that would be the obvious choice. Based off of how you introduced each of these films, I'm probably going to go with, and who knows, I may be wrong on this, but I'm going to say you probably made it through all the way over the top, but then you turned off the other two. Okay.
It was good. I liked your assessment.
Yeah. So was it toys? And
I did make it through toys.
Okay. It's like I said, I kind
of figured, I can honestly say
that would be the obvious choice. I'm like, okay, so I'll go with the not so obvious. But all right.
Because we know the rules of Test the Time is that these are movies that I had to have at least been into at some point in my youth.
Oh, yeah.
So at some point, I really liked all three of these and held them in high regard.
Okay.
Two of them, I'm very embarrassed. Actually, all three of them, not too proud of what I did, to be perfectly honest. Because just because I made it through toys does not mean that I'm still proud and that I still, it's the love affair that I once had with this movie.
Yeah.
First off, over the top, I could hardly make it. I think I made it like 12 minutes into that.
Really?
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, I gotta stop this. I can't do Sylvester Stallone anymore.
I mean, admittedly so. I've never been a huge fan of this film, but I remember it was one of those movies that I saw, and I pretty much had to watch it all the way through to fully appreciate it, because I'm just going, there were moments where I was kind of going, okay, this movie's kind of lacking, but then, you know, admittedly I saw it theatrically, so I didn't really have the choice.
That kid is so annoying.
Well, yeah, he's always been annoying. But,
no,
you know,
but maybe it's because you don't have kids. Probably. But once you have kids, you have no tolerance for annoying kids on the screen. It's like, I am not wasting my time away from my kids watching annoying kids. That is the stupidest thing I possibly do, and I will not do it.
All right.
So,
who was the kid in that? Wasn't he somebody?
I don't know, and I'm not even going to
look. Come on, you're killing me here.
So. Oh, fine. Let's look up.
I could have sworn that he was like...
It's probably Stephen Dorff.
No.
I hope it is.
Oh, hell no.
It's always Stephen Dorff.
No, it was like somebody who was like kind of... Somebody, I was going to say like Noah Hathaway or something like that, but that ain't it.
Mean me halfway. That's right. That's what you get when you make me look up.
Kenny Loggins.
That's right. He did the theme song to every 80s movie.
Hell yeah.
And there's no name on there we recognize, so he's obviously not a somebody.
Scroll down a little.
What?
He was on General Hospital for 6 years.
Dang.
Yeah. Sad but true. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I do remember from General Hospital. I got caught up in that whole Luke and Laura thing.
Who didn't?
Exactly.
I didn't even...
I ain't too shy to admit it. God damn it.
Better drink your beer.
Hell yeah.
Take a drink of the Pabst. You just admitted... Man, Jane Austen. I'm not saying anymore. So, toys. Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
There was parts that I was like, I didn't see why I used to really like this. And then there was parts I was like, I didn't see why people really hated this. Tonally, it's all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And it never really...
I was never a big fan of that movie.
I know you weren't. It's always been one that we've kind of...
Yeah. You were always like, oh, man, this is awesome. I'm like, no, it's not so much.
Yeah, I saw it like 6 times at the theater.
Oh, I remember. Really?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Especially the one where Robin Williams' dad runs a toy company, and it's very kind of surreal, and he dies, and his uncle comes in and takes over and wants to build military toys, and it's the worst thing in the world.
Mm.
And Robin Williams has to sabotage him, but he's like this man-child, weird... Robin Williams is just creepy.
Yeah.
He's just creepy. It's like I watch things now and I'm like, man, why did my parents let me watch him? He's just he's creepy. And so anyway, that's enough about toys. I wouldn't recommend any of these. The Golden Child. Yeah, I used to think it was really cool. Were you one you never liked it?
I don't know. I thought that it was very okay.
For a long time, Eddie Murphy could do no wrong.
I think The Golden Child may have been the first movie where he's
really
like, it's either that one or, trying to remember which came out first. It was either The Golden Child or Best Defense.
Best Defense came out first.
Okay. Because, yeah, it was one of those where there was, like, yeah, because, both, you know, it's like, yeah, for a while there, it's like Eddie Murphy. Yeah, he started off on Saturday Night Live, and you're going, oh, yeah, yeah, wow, Eddie Murphy, okay, he's you know, at first he was just kind of like the 1980s version of Garrett Morris. Then all of a sudden he came into his own. You're like, wow, cool, Eddie Murphy, all right, cool. You know, and then he started making movies. You're like, 48 Hours, Trading Places, oh, wow, cool.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Beverly Hills Cop, you know, and then, yeah, he started doing, you know, Best of Ends. You're like, oh.
And that was with what, Kate Bassett, okay, and Dudley Moore?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then...
See, why can't I remember numbers?
No shit.
Instead of movie.
I know.
Trivia.
Dude, trust me, I got the same problem.
How to program a computer. I wish I could just read a book and retain that like I do for reviews. Anyway.
Yeah, then, you know, yeah, then you had the Golden Child. You're just like, oh...
You know, watching the Golden Child this time, I had the epiphany of, I think I know why I loved it so much.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first one he did that I could see in the theater without having to sneak in.
Because
it was PG-13.
Yeah.
And I saw it so many times in the theater. And it also had that fantastical edge. Because when I was younger, if it had, like, you know, I mean, it was Eddie Murphy and then, like, mystical monsters and stuff and magic. So I was sold.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun, but it was never just like, oh, wow, this movie's all great.
It's not that fun anymore.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd almost be afraid to go back and watch Beverly Hills Cop anymore.
It holds up.
Really?
I've seen pieces of it.
Okay.
It holds up.
Yeah, I haven't seen Beverly Hills Cop in a long time. I haven't seen Part 2 even longer. Part 3, I thought, sucked.
There was no such thing.
Exactly. Which is why I'm not surprised that Part 4 was never made, despite the fact that they had that big press conference.
Yeah.
But...
Well, I think that brings us to a close, this episode number 4 of That Movie Podcast.
Oh, really? At the end? I guess we are, huh?
Yeah.
We've run out of stuff, so.
Well, what's coming out? Anything exciting? Dark Knight Rises?
Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, that's everyone's having a genre-gasm over that.
Yeah.
Except for me.
That's pretty much about it. Yeah, after that, summer's over, so.
Now, The Watch. I think that looks so funny. And when I found out it was R, I was like, oh, yeah, I cannot wait.
See?
I think it looks great. That's the Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, Seth Rogen, and... Oh, yeah, Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
And the dude from the IT Crowd.
Yeah.
Who I love. He was so funny.
Yeah. I don't know, Ben Stiller, I can take or leave. But Jonah Hill just annoys the piss out of me, so I'm just like going...
Yeah, I can kind of take him or leave him.
Yeah.
He's okay. I've seen him I definitely understand if someone says that he's annoying. It's like, he's annoyed me in things, but...
I would say, it's like Moneyball was probably the one movie I saw that he didn't annoy me.
Yeah, he was good.
Everything else I've seen him in, I'm just like going, you're killing this movie.
He didn't annoy me in 21 Jump Street.
See, I didn't bother to see it.
I know. You don't see anything that he's in because you don't like him, so...
Exactly.
How do you know if he's ever going to be in something where he didn't annoy you?
Hey...
He has to be in with Brad Pitt, I guess. Or in a Jane Austen movie. What? Anyway, with that burn, we're going to end this episode.
Because
we got some things to do.
Well, there you go.
All right, have a good week. Enjoy.
See ya.
Movies.
This has been a Phase Media Podcast. Find us online at justaphase.com. That's Phase with a mother effin' F.